Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we have the great pleasure of welcoming back former Days head writer Sherry Anderson Thomas. Sherry is currently promoting her second book featuring Days of Our Lives characters. A Stirring from Salem is currently available on Amazon.com. It is also available in most major bookstores. Please feel free to call in and talk with Sherry at 914-338-1239 or join us in our chat room. The Diva is also Skype friendly. We are also on Facebook as Diva Days and on Twitter as Diva of Dole. You will also find Sherry on Facebook and Twitter. And joining me tonight are my co-host Anna.
Hello.
And Madeline.
Hello.
Hi. And a special welcome to you, Sherry. And we're happy to have you back with us.
Thank you so
much. Yay,
you made it. It's always great to talk to you guys. And also to follow you on Twitter. It's pretty amazing, I got to tell you.
Yes, and we're following you on Twitter.
I'm trying to figure out this whole social media thing. But as I said, it's really interesting to be, that's kind of how I'm keeping up with the show, frankly, is because every day I kind of see all those little tweets minute by minute when the show is over. I do watch them.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you enjoying our Diva of Days tweets?
Oh, I do. Sometimes I find them pretty interesting. It actually makes me want to watch the show. So,
wow.
Or not watch the show. Or is it watch the show? Yeah. Yeah.
We enjoy Carrie's snarky sarcasm. It's
That's
great.
That's Carrie doing, but most of the time doing that. Yes, she has a good knack for that.
A very good knack for that. And sometimes it's interesting because I see story points that I wasn't really aware of. And so it makes it kind of interesting to see what the heck's going on right now.
Yeah. I don't know. There's some things aren't so good about the show right now.
So I heard that you've been on these Days 45 book tours and promoting them. I was wondering if maybe you could tell us some of your experiences with that and maybe about your new book that's coming out.
Cool. Well, you know, the thing is, as you guys know, the first book came out in November, and the second book really is officially coming out May 1st, and then the ebook is May 10th. But, you know, right now you can get it on Amazon, you can get it at BarnesandNoble.com. I know there are a number of people that pre-ordered it, and they've already gotten it and read it, and they seem to like it very much, so I think that's pretty interesting. But, you know, it's been so amazing to be able to go on this tour. Because a lot of people don't know that generally the writers and the actors really, you know, they don't interact that much. Because the writers, one, are so busy, and two, there's sort of a written rule that you don't want to get too close to the actors because then it can influence how you write them. So after all these years, suddenly to be able to spend time not only with some of the new actors on the show, but some of the old favorites who I haven't seen for quite a while. It's been absolutely fantastic, and the fan response has been amazing.
Yeah, it seems like...
That's good to hear the fan response, you know.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's nice, I mean...
Well, you know, with the way
I was going to say, one thing that's interesting is what they've been doing, as you probably know, Deirdre has been on several of the legs of the tour. Drake in Houston... Bill and Susan, who, again, they're on the show, but I haven't seen them for a while. And actually, you know, I used to work with Susan's mother. She was one of the writers who worked with me for a while.
Oh.
And I got to know Susan and Bill pretty well on a cruise many years ago. But I haven't seen them that much recently. And so it was absolutely terrific to be able to spend time with them. And, again, to see the fan response to these people who've been on the show, you know, who've been their family. And my family, I was a fan before I actually started writing on the show.
Oh.
So, you know, to spend time with them has just been terrific. And again, you may have seen in Atlanta, you know, they had no idea that there were going to be 2,500 people that showed up. And it was really, really heartwarming, actually, to be with all those people. And then, you know, there aren't many actors, as I said, that I've been that close to, but, you know, specifically Leanne and Teo are both good friends of mine and have been over the years. And I think you guys are close to them. And I've been so privileged to travel with them, to play golf with Leanne, to go to Greece with Teo. And it's now nice to get to meet some of the other actors a little more intimately. It's been terrific, actually.
Something that I think is cool is that just seeing all these people show up, you know, come out to these events. I haven't actually been, nothing's come to my city yet, but just hearing all of it, it's like, you know, with the recent cancellation news of AMC and One Life to Live, you know, soaps really aren't dead. They really are still viable in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But it's just the way they're measuring it, the way they're measuring the audience. But I think the passion is still there for it. I don't know. What's been your experience when you're talking to people? I mean, are you seeing generations show up, or are you seeing mostly, you know, what's the demographic of the people?
Well,
that are,
you know, the demographic has been pretty interesting, because I would say a majority of the people that I've met have been, you know, I'm going to say as an average in their 30s and 40s, and then they'll be with their mothers, sometimes their grandmother, and sometimes you see these people with 6-8-year-old kids who are saying they're now fans of the show. And as those of us who've watched for many, many years know, that was one of the most important things, especially about Days of Our Lives, in that it really has always been something. I watched it with my aunt and my mother when I was in high school, you know. Brian DeTillo started watching the show when he was like 6 with his grandmother. And it was something that, you know, you could share. And as I said, it's kind of like when you hear that theme, you know, and see that hourglass, as old-fashioned sometimes as it seems, it's like visiting an old friend and being at a family reunion. Right. And so it's really been lovely, because so many people, and as I said, I'm surprised by the number of young people who've shown up and have wanted to get books for their mothers or grandmothers and say, you know, I watched it before I was born. You know, I was in my mother's womb and she was watching the show. So,
yeah.
You know, it's really, really such, there's, to me, such a need to keep these things going, and especially Days of Our Lives, as
I
said.
I know.
I've been watching for over 40 years, and I started with my aunt when I was like 11, and it's like, I know I will cry if it'll ever go off the air, like, you know, all my children, One Life to Live. I just don't want to see that happen, so I really want to do all I can to support the ones that are still on, so.
Well, you know, it's interesting, when all of this is happening with the shows getting canceled, you know, my big complaint about the whole thing is only that people weren't given enough warning. You know, I have the feeling that this might just be, you know, me having wishful thinking, but if 6 months ago, you know, ABC had said, 6 months from now the show's going off the air unless people are watching, we have things in the pipeline, that fans would have said, I think you're serious now, and really start watching again. And it's very easy to complain about what's on air, and, you know, we don't like the story.
Right.
In the 80s, when it was supposedly the best time, or for many people, the best time of soap, boy, we had a lot of complaints, too. We had people saying, I hate the story, I don't like this way. But people hung in there and would keep watching. And I keep thinking, if people just turned on their TV, you know, you don't have to be watching the show, but turn it on that, you know, whatever the...
And taping it.
You know, taping it just... You know, it helps to just have your TV on, because the advertisers then, you know, judge it differently than if you're doing it as a DVR or whatever. But just watching the shows. And, you know, as I said, Days of Our Lives now I think has the smallest budget of any of the shows that are on. And Gary and Dina have done a terrific job of being able to do story within those extreme limitations.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. I'm very lucky in writing the books, because I have no limitations whatsoever, you know. So I'm able to have them in Monaco and Monte Carlo and have celebrities show up and having a 600-foot yacht and go to South Africa, which is the second book, and, you know, and travel and be at, you know, very high-end events and modeling shoots and all of that, and can really explore the glamour and the pathos without any restrictions. And that is something that, unfortunately, they're not able to do on the shows right now because of the budget.
Right. And I think, honestly, I think because they've been able to manage the budget the last few years, that's the reason it's still on the air. When you look at some of the other ones that have gone away, I think, you know, that's probably what's saving us right now.
I don't know. Well, it really is. And, you know, I have to say that when I was first approached about writing the book, which was, I'd say, what was it, almost 2 years ago, NBC was in negotiations with Days of Our Lives, and I would hear on a weekly basis, oh, we don't know if we're going to be able to stay on the air. You know, there were threats of taking them off the air, and that's where the budgets got slashed and slashed and slashed, and certain beloved characters had to leave because they couldn't afford them at the time. And as you say, that's the reason the show is still on the air, because Gary and, as I said, Dina as the head writer have been able to accommodate those restrictions. Some people don't like the way the storyline's going. I get that. But some people love it. You know, if we look at Twitter and we look at all those things, there are fans that are out there.
Right.
And we can only hope that, you know, the tide turns. We all know that. And we can only hope that everybody still is committed to keeping that show on the air by watching it.
Yeah. I have a quick question on, like, for example, like, when we watch it right now, sometimes some of the fans think, gosh, you know, they're almost writing against us. I mean, it's almost like they're taking what we want and doing just the opposite. And I'm sure that's not really the goal, but it seems like that sometimes. So, and I know sometimes it's like whether you're talking about it negatively or positively, as long as you're talking about it, there's something to that, you know.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, sometimes as much as we might not like a pairing or something, if there's just as many people arguing for it as against it, the show sort of wins in some weird way, I guess. But
it seems like they like to keep the fans talking negatively instead of positively. It seems like they like to upset us, and they like the negative attention instead of the positive. Like they do the opposite of what fans want.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, do you think it could be that they're just not keyed in sometimes to what the fans really are looking for, or, you know, because I know there are a lot of a lot of things that they're limited on right now, but because sometimes they hit on something really great, like the Victor and Maggie and pairing and the Kate and Stefano. People universally seem to really enjoy those pairings, and so that's great, and they have managed to bring those characters, those couples along, but then kind of, you know, some of these other things that happen on the show, you kind of wonder, you know, do they have a clue? You know, are they paying attention? Or is it because they film 2 months in advance, so by the time they've already invested in a story, they realize that maybe it stinks now, but it's too late because they've already, you know, got 2 months in the camp. You know, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that as far as...
Well, you know, it's very interesting because when you talk about certain story dynamics, and as an example, and I love Suzanne Rogers and I love John Aniston. Those are people two actors who I did get close to when I was on the show years ago. And when I initially heard about that pairing, I was like, it is wrong. Because suddenly, you know, Victor is a murderer, basically. You know, he's an evil, and Maggie is, you know, a Horton. She's, you know, the new Alice Horton. And it should be Tom Horton. And so I probably, if I were writing it, wouldn't have supported that. Yet at the same time, it's gotten great, great response. So it's pretty interesting. Then you look at some of the other pairings that people don't like. Again, as you just said, they're 2 months ahead. We used to have the benefit of being 2 weeks ahead. I mean, you'd be sitting in your office and you could watch what was being taped.
Right.
And it was on the air 2 weeks later. And if you saw something wasn't working, you went in there and you changed it.
Absolutely.
You know, and they don't have that luxury anymore. So that by the time people go, oh, I hate this.
Right.
You've got another 2 months of it on the air.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Yeah.
And then we find out about it. We find out, oh, they have gotten rid of something or they have scrapped the storyline, but we know we still have to watch it for two more months.
Yeah. So that's probably a question for you guys. I have a question because I always think that, you know, one of the things that we always had years ago was the mystery that people didn't know what was going to happen. You had no clue because there wasn't the internet, there wasn't all of that stuff.
Exactly, right.
And now you've got people, and I've spoken to fans who go, yeah, well, I look at the spoilers and I decide if I'm going to watch or not. Because if it's not something I want to watch, I don't watch it. Rather than divorcing yourself from that and saying, how is it going to play out? And so I'm very curious now about in this new generation of media, how that really affects you as viewers.
Well, I do listen and listen to the spoilers, and I watch anyway. I mean, I'll watch regardless.
Right.
But I know what you mean. Years ago, like back in the 80s, you know, there was, you know, I didn't know what was coming, like especially during the slasher storyline with Tony Andre thing. That I was so, like, I thought, oh, no, they're making Tony the killer. Oh, no, God, they're going to, okay, that's it. He's going to be leaving the show. But then, you know, it was when he was revealed in the basement. That was, like, so exciting. I still remember that. And that was so fun being surprised.
I still remember, just to interject something, I remember when, you know, Maggie DePriest was head writer and I was her co-head writer, and that's when Samantha was brought in and she was murdered and everyone thought it was Marlena. And everybody was picketing outside the studio.
Oh.
And Maggie and I were walking with them. They had no idea who we were. We were standing out with the fans, walking around, trying to get their opinion. They had no clue we were there. And today, you know, it was such a shock when it was revealed that it was actually Samantha. And today you'd be going, oh, look, next week we're going to find out it's Samantha. And I don't
know. Right, everything's so predictable.
And you know, that storyline, that turn and that storyline to this day, like I got chills down my neck when you were talking about it, because it's like I was in high school, junior high, I guess, around that time, and I mean, I could not wait to watch the show, and I was devastated when I thought Marlena was dead, and I watched over the, you know, I think it was over the weekend or something that when they were picketing, or I don't know what day it was, but
oh yeah, the protests, I remember that.
Yeah,
and
it was just like,
we were out there with everybody.
Wow, that's cool.
Oh,
you know, it's just, and so you're right. I mean, I think from my perspective, I do.
Can they stop the spoilers? Is there any way they could stop it?
Well, you know, I have noticed that there for a while. I don't know if it was Tomlin or Corday's decision, but they
weren't
posting spoilers in some of the magazines. I noticed like days would be not on the list. You know.
Well, Corday basically tells you everything that's going to happen. It's like, why would he do that?
He puts his own spin on it, too. Like, and this is, of course, what everyone wants.
Well, I never believe anything he says,
anyway, I think for us it's hard because you have them. It's human nature to want to read them. I mean, some people do try to stay spoiler-free. But in this day and age, when, you know, when we do our Diva blog, our podcast, we're talking about stuff, and we don't stop and go, oh, wait, we can't say that because that's a spoiler for next week. You know, we start, it's just part of the conversation. It's part of Twitter. It's part of Sony, the board, you know, message boards and stuff. So it's really hard to be spoiler-free. And it's kind of human nature to want to read them. But I agree with you that it really does affect viewership because some people will only watch if a certain character's on. Well, back in the day, you kind of knew that Monday, Wednesday, Friday were certain ones and Tuesday, Thursday were certain others. But still, you weren't really sure. Now, you kind of...
Yeah, I don't agree with that, not watching because your favorite character is not on.
I mean,
there's a lot of people that I watch the show because I like the show. And I like all the characters, and I just like the whole thing of the show. But people say, okay, my favorite character's not on, I'm not going to watch the show. But, you know, maybe your favorite character or actor will come back. And it's happened. But if you don't watch the show, then they never have the chance to come back. So it's kind of like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, see, I'm not writing the show anymore, and I'm writing the novels, which, but it's interesting I don't know if you guys read the first one or not, but I thoroughly enjoyed writing it, and the second one I enjoyed writing even more, even though it was more difficult for me to do.
And why was that?
Well, it was interesting because, in a sense, you know, I haven't written novels before. I've had people that have asked me for years, why don't you write novels? And I've said this, you know, in interviews before, because I knew that it would be almost impossible to get them published, because the publishing is so tough. And so when Cordae came to me and said, we have a publishing deal, will you write these books? I said, sure. I think I can probably do that because I'd written so much story for so many years. It's a very different format, however. And writing the first book, you know, as I've said before, when you're writing a soap opera, generally, it's not quite the same as it used to be, but it used to be if it was fabulous, it was great. If it stank, you still had to take credit for it. You know, you had no choice, but it went away. The next day it was gone,
right.
You know, and then you went on to the next one. Now, you know, people can look at them again and do all that, but they generally don't. They keep going forward in the story. When it comes to a novel, you know, people are going to pick that up for years. I've always said this even about commercials. You look at a commercial and you think, it's got to be brilliant because it's on air over and over and over, and you can see all the flaws in it. Well, with a book, you know, people can pick it up and go back and go, wait a minute, what was that scene about? What was that, you know, chapter about? And let me look at it again. And on TV, you have a tendency not to do that. You just got soaked. You keep going forward. So when I got to the second novel, I was accustomed to just writing, you know, going forward. But I realized that there are people that are going to pick up the second book, having not read the first book. And if they don't know the characters, and in the first book, as I said, if you read it, I think you realize that it really gave, in my opinion, a lot of salient backstory in a pretty digestible way.
Oh.
And so you got, for people who've never seen the show before, they get who the characters are. Well, in the second novel, you don't want to, there are still, John and Marlena are still there. Now, Charlie is there. You know, Shane is there again. You've got certain people. Jack is there. Now, so how much do you describe them? How much do you give the reader so that it doesn't bore the ones who've read the first one, yet it's enough to entice the new reader? So it was, that made it difficult for me. And I'd also gone through a lot of loss that year. I lost my mother. I lost several pets that I'd had for 17 years. And I suddenly realized when I was writing it in the beginning that I was putting a lot of my sadness into it and about the loss that I suffered. And so it was kind of painful for me in the beginning, and I really had to go back and, you know, toss out the first 80 to 100 pages I'd written and redo all that in order to not make it a personal, you know, experience just for me, but to be able to really make it about the characters and about trying to satisfy the readers. So the second one, as I said, was difficult for me, but I placed it in South Africa because, as I said, you know, I tried to take the characters where they logically were in the first book. You know, John and Marlena, they had gone to Switzerland. So that's where I placed them because I try to be, and always tried to be when I was writing the show, I try to be as faithful to the characters for the audience, for the viewer. So, you know, I don't like screwing around with history. I don't like, you know, cheating the audience. And so I didn't want to do that for the readers either. So, you know,
you mentioned that we have a ton of Jack fans in here.
Yes, I was wanted to get to the Jack fans.
Jack and Jen fans. I'm sorry to interrupt, but they're just dying they're really wondering like what your take is on. I know you may not be watching every day and everything, but seeing the tweets maybe and the individual tweets, but what they're basically doing is in order to prop this pairing that they think somehow might be successful, which most of us are wondering what they're thinking. But anyway, they're putting Jennifer with this Daniel, this Dr. Dan character. And, you know, and they're, surprisingly, there have been a few, I've seen a few positive things about it but from people. But for the most part, what they seem to be doing is tearing the history of Jack and Jen apart, tearing the character, like character assassination, basically, of Jack, in order to push her towards Daniel. And I know, I can see where that could be some sort of writing convention, if you will. But and I'm sure that, that it's probably always been the case, and you know that would happen. But aren't there? I don't know. What is your thought on that? Because it seems like to try to ruin a character that's much beloved, like you mentioned, Jack is in the book, that's much beloved, and has this
right.
huge history, you know, and they're basically ruining him for the sake of this pairing that, you know, may or may not be go, but it's doubtful at this point that it's going to. But what are your thoughts on something like that?
Well, you know, Jack
and Jennifer together in your book?
Yeah, well, I'll just go to that issue for a minute, because when they asked me to write these novels, they told me I could write whatever I wanted, and it really didn't matter, in a sense, what was going on the show, because this is basically my interpretation of,
right.
you know, where the characters are. And at that time, Jack and Jennifer were off the canvas, Sean and Belle off the canvas, John and Marlena off the canvas, and so and I love Jack and Jennifer. I didn't, you know, I was one of the people when Missy Reeves came on. Believe it or not, I think I was on the show when her character was actually born in my first incarnation. And then, you know, came back. That was, I think, in 1976, I think. And then when she was aged and all of that, and we were fortunate enough to hire Missy, who I just absolutely adore, you know, I did not create Jack, but was able to write for them, and as again, one of my incarnations out there, I think five times. I loved those characters, and so I think I captured them pretty well in the first book. And also Abby was in the book in a big way, who I never wrote for. And what happened suddenly in book two, I was halfway through the book, which had Jack and Jennifer in it, very happily married, and had Abigail doing certain things, and suddenly they came back to the show. And, you know, I was, in a sense, told it didn't matter, but to me it did matter. So I tried to make it work with their separation with Jack and Jennifer, and also with Abby. At the end of the novel, second novel, basically, it was a totally different end for her, but because the actress, they hired a new actress and brought her back, you know, I tried to adjust it to accommodate that. And for me, I don't know what they're doing in that situation with Jack. It's not me to criticize what's
right.
there.
Sure.
I kind of don't believe in character assassination.
Right.
I mean,
I
also, you know, I also,
that what they're doing
as an example, what drives me crazy is, and this goes back a long way, but I still remember, because I'm the one who actually did the Victor Caroline story about Beau being Victor's father.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
and,
ooh, that was
and
awesome.
it was so strongly written that Caroline was Victor, the love of his life. And when I watched the show in another, as I said, I wasn't on it for a while, and I don't even remember who it was. Was it Marina? I don't know. Somebody came in and suddenly she had been the love of his life, and I went, oh wait a minute.
So annoying.
And then suddenly somebody
it was
else
Marina.
Was the love of his life. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, because for me, you know, again, there's an emotional commitment,
right.
and I think you can love people in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, if that weren't the case, then whenever we had a widow or a widower,
mm-hmm.
they would not be able to find somebody they could have a wonderful relationship with, and they
right.
do.
Right.
You know, so there, mm-hmm. I don't believe that there is only one person in the world for everybody.
Right.
I think that there are many, many different people. I think that some are the, you know, have a stronger relationship in certain areas. But to me, John and Marlena, listen, I loved, when I went to Days of Our Lives, Marlena was with Don. I loved Don and Marlena, you know, and I thought, ooh, Roman, how can we sell that? Then it was Roman and Marlena. Then it became John and Marlena, really. And now, you know, I think of John as the love of Marlena's life. But I think when we wrote those things, they made emotional sense, and they were true to the character. So, you know, as I said, I am hoping that, so Matt Ashford, I also love as a person as well as an actor.
Right.
I did not know him well, and I was doing an event a couple of years ago, and I'm hiring some soap actors to do something for me, and he came to that in New York, and I got to spend 3 days with him and really fell in love with him because he was so charming and lovely and, you know, such a quality guy. And I think he's such a wonderful actor. So, you know, in my mind, as I said, I hope that if there is any, in quotes, character assassination, somehow it's explainable later and rectified.
Right, and that's what the fans are hoping, is that because
we're
hoping
so be
overboard with the overkill of the, well, he doesn't even care that her heart was ripped out of her body and she was, you know, left there to die for days or whatever. You
he's
know,
on a walkabout.
He's on this walkabout.
Yeah,
but there are a lot of people, even people who aren't Jack and Jen fans, who are speculating that, well, maybe this is a build-up for him to return and for them to discover that he's actually been held captive by somebody, or, you know, which would be a great thing, because, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, that would redeem
that's
the
what we're
temporary
hoping for.
That would redeem the temporary character assassination. I guess there's just maybe a lack of faith sometimes, you know, because we haven't always, you know, been rewarded in that way, I guess, as fans. Mm-hmm. So, but interesting. Well, it sounds like Jack and Jen fans will really enjoy reading what you've done.
Yeah, well, I'm curious about this because, as I said, the book, there are certain, let's just say, should John and Marlena go back to the show, and they could, you know, I know that I think the fans would love that. When Drake or Deirdre have been on the fan events, they have a huge response.
Uh-huh.
But I'm curious as to how you guys feel about, as we've been, you know, into book three at the moment, in writing the novels. If you read them, do you then go, oh, wait a minute, this isn't the show, what's going on? Or do you enjoy them on their own?
Oh, I read your first book. I am going to read the second one, but I enjoyed it on its own.
Yeah.
That way.
And
yeah.
Suddenly go, oh, wait a minute, if John and Marlena
okay.
show back in Salem.
I don't write that John and Marlena aren't back in Salem. You know, oh, they really do have a life somewhere else.
Yeah, right,
okay,
right.
You know,
yeah.
It's sort of
right.
keeps things
that's
alive.
That's how I was
like,
looking at it.
It's nice because
like
it keeps things alive.
Yeah, but it's like Jennifer is back on the show now, as is Abby, and they have no you know, no reference to what's in the book.
Well, and actually that may be a good thing.
I think
people are going to enjoy your book and what Jack and Jennifer are doing more so than what's really going on with Jennifer on the show.
Well, as I said, I toned certain things down in the book, but writing the books has been fun, but I've also said it's really interesting because suddenly, because I have gotten to know Drake and Deirdre over the many, many years, and, you know, I know Missy a bit and all that. And especially when, let's face it, in the novels, they're saying, here's a sex scene. And suddenly I'm writing things where, you know, and John puts his hand here and she licks this. And he does, and I'm thinking, oh, I know these people. This is too weird. So it is, it's been kind of strange.
I love it.
You know, when you write a
you sold me on the book right there.
You know, when you write a scene for television, you talk about, and they have a love scene, and but you're not really,
that's funny,
you know, physicalizing it, and suddenly to actually take, you know, because for me, you have to write from your heart, not just your head, and suddenly when you're getting into that emotion, you're going, oh, this is weird. So I had to kind of get past that in writing some of the stuff for the characters. But, you know, I love the new characters in the book. They're going into, you know, book three. Book two, you know, is a lot because I've been trying to address and I'll mention this about Patch and Kayla. You know, suddenly I wrote a whole, book two is very heavily Patch and Kayla.
Oh.
And it takes place, a lot of it takes place, most of it takes place in South Africa. I called the clinic down there, which didn't have a name. I couldn't find that it had a name. It's called the Tamale Clinic, which is really for Tom and Alice Horton. They named it that because they're trying to honor Tom and Alice. And, you know, Bill runs the clinic. Bill's got a major, you know, part in book two. And with Patch and Kayla, but I wrote all of this, and it basically takes place over New Year's last year. And suddenly I look at the show, and there's Kayla in Salem on New Year's. So I was like, oh, no. So I added a line, as corny as it sounds, where she says to Patch, sometimes I wonder if this is a dream and I'm going to wake up in Salem. Only because, again, I don't want to cheat the viewers and cheat the readers. But as I said, I've been trying to. So book three, which I'm writing now, is very heavily Shane and Kim.
Oh.
And, you know, those are all couples that I wrote in the 80s, and they all tie together. Obviously, they have strong family going on. You know, we talk about the DeMiras and Tony and Anna, who
were
one of my favorite couples.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we're the DeMiras.
DeMiras.
Well, yeah, we have
a whole book just DeMiras.
And we, we want lots of licking and hands going different places.
I'm curious if you don't have to stick to what they're doing exactly on the screen. Do you have to stick to whether they're dead or not?
Yeah.
No, I don't have any restrictions.
That's
great. You know, this is really funny.
Oh,
when you
good.
Talk about being dead, I also have to admit, I am the first writer that killed Stefano and then brought him back. But you know what? He was supposed to come back once. He wasn't supposed to come
phoenix.
Back like nine times.
He was the phoenix,
he was rising
you know?
From the ashes.
There you
but,
go.
But, you know, the thing is,
there you go.
I just, you know, so much of the show has become almost science fiction-y, or was, which I kind of included in book one, if you remember some of the stuff in there. And so I understand that that is possible to resurrect anybody. You know, if you've seen how many times people have been killed and they come back, just, you know, there's always a reason. There's always a way.
Sure.
So, you know, it will just depend on if, you know, Corday and Source Books wants to do another series or more books, and I'm hoping they do, and I think they do. It'll go away. You know, right now, as I said, it's kind of heavily spent on John and Marlena for the first three, but then it deals with Paige and Kayla and Shane and Kim. The next, if it's a trilogy, whatever, in my opinion, would deal with another family. And, you know, the Daenerys are a very strong possibility because they're fascinating and sexy and dangerous.
Yeah.
And,
well, what do you know? What do you think about, I mentioned them earlier, and of course I'm obsessed with them, so I'm going to bring it up again. What do you think of, like, the dynamic with Stefano and Kate? I don't know if you wrote for Kate, you know, I don't know if you ever wrote when Kate was on.
I actually originally created the character Kate.
Really?
Yeah, it was Deborah Dare, and actually Debbie was a friend of mine.
Oh, wow.
And I just loved her, and really... one of the characters I had created first was actually Austin.
Oh.
And the reason for creating Austin was, at the time, there was another actress playing Carrie, and the audience wasn't responding to her very strongly. And so I thought, if we had this handsome, gorgeous next-door neighbor who saw the beauty in her, that would, you know, help win over the audience. Now, interestingly enough, it did help, but again, that couple, it was Tracy Middendorf and Patrick Muldoon at the time, and they didn't have the kind of chemistry that later other, you know, Carrie and Austin Peck,
right.
and Christy had. And then I brought in Billy, and then just when Jim Riley was coming in, and I had just basically created Kate, with a little bit of a different spin on her character, he twisted her kind of a different way. But so I really wrote for her. I wrote for Deborah Dare, not Lauren. So listen, the thing about Lauren, and I've watched occasionally, because as I'm sure you know, Brian DiTillo was and is a client of mine in my management company, and he came in obviously in those days with Debbie and then with Lauren.
Sure.
And so I would watch with Brian. And, you know, Lauren Coslow is just such a fabulous actress. And, you know, listen, Kate and Stefano deserve each other, you know. So,
you know what, we have a bunch of callers. Would you like to take some callers?
Oh, absolutely.
Now? Okay.
Yep.
Hello, area code 845.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Jen again.
Hi, how are you?
Hello. Good. I've read, I'm halfway into the second book, and I really like to thank you. You have almost made me like John, and I've never liked John.
Really? Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Almost. Well, that's good. Okay. And why didn't you like John?
Because I did not like the way they destroyed Roman and Tony for John.
Well, you know, I have to,
no,
I, as again, I don't even know who was writing it through all of that, but I think of John as the John that came in, you know, when I was there in 1983. Did he come in? I'm trying to remember, three or four.
I thought it was 86.
86.
I'm trying to remember. Was it 86? Because I was just sort of nearing the end of my tenure there.
86.
But Drake, you know, and Deirdre, I just look at those two and I see the magic in their eyes together. And I think ultimately, you know, Drake's story, because of so many forces, as an example, you know, when Wayne Northrop came back, he came back, when was that, in 90? I'm trying to even remember. And he came back with the caveat that he was Roman Brady. Because John was really Roman Brady. That's who he wrote him as, that's who he came in as, that's who he was. And suddenly that twisted the story. And then in the hands of some other writers, you know, he became so many different characters for the sake of plot. And I just still, as I said, I see him as a very pure character for me, and who has some goodness and who has all that. So I'll be interested to see what you think of him by the end of the novel.
I loved his character of Roman with Diana. Because that's when I started watching.
Uh-huh.
I watched him with Jeannie Francis, and I thought he was amazing. And then it's like, and when Wayne Northam came back, they had to like destroy one character to make him look good, and then the same with Tony.
Yeah, well, again, you know, it's kind of what I addressed earlier. You know, what happens, I think, a lot of times new writers come in, and I think there were a number of different writers along the way. And they suddenly take a totally different spin on it. You know, one of the benefits of being on a show as long as I was there is that you know the characters really well, and I think you're very protective of them. So for me, it's always been a little painful to see when some of these characters get readjusted for the sake of plot. Kind of am not
the
for
plot.
Them. But, you know, for plot. And I also, you know, I wrote Drake. When I came in 91, I think it was, John had just married Isabella. And I actually wrote her demise with the pancreatic cancer story.
Oh, wow.
And the reason for that, by the way, was because I had been there. I just was brought in to bridge, actually, before Jeremiah came in. And he had just had this love story. John had just married Isabella, and Stacey Greeson decided she wanted to leave the show and was not going to renew her contract. And suddenly, for me again, it was a matter of not cheating the audience and having them have a fight or having some, you know, other woman come in or some other man come in, but really having something that was a, you know, it said, are you positive you're not coming back to the show? Yes, I will not come back to the show. So that's why, actually, Elizabeth Harrower, who was Susan Hayes' mother, as you probably know, who was working with me, suggested, you know, pancreatic cancer. And ironically, my father died from that about 10 years ago. So it's kind of very close to my heart at that point. But you know, again, it's writing stories for characters that isn't destroying them as a person, but putting the obstacles in their way that are emotional.
That are real.
And so really having to deal with the emotion of all of that. So, you know, as I said, for me it was very weird to come in with John and Isabella because to me it was still John and Marlena. But I was able to, I think, bridge that well. And that really was one of my favorite, it's obviously a short-term story. But, again, it's a matter of not cheating the audience. Well, I'm pleased that maybe you're seeing the John Black that I know and that I love in the book. Because, again, in the first, did you read the first book by any chance?
Yes, and I loved it. It was excellent. I wish
you
were still writing.
Well, you know, I am still writing, but I'm writing books at the moment. And as I said, I've got so much freedom to do that. They could not do these stories right now on the show because of a budget again. You know, as I say, I look at scenes and I think, wow, are they brilliant for being able to get the story across with the limited amount of sets and actors they can use. But, you know, again, for me, I just want to be able to, first of all, please myself when I'm writing this stuff, and then, you know, satisfy the audience. So But, you know, I would love to hear what people would like to hear. And as you say, you're talking about the Demiras, or who else would you like to revisit in the novel? Because, you know, let's hope there are more.
Yeah, I would love a book dedicated to the Demiras.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and well, I'm
you know,
also...
But the Demiras, you know, it's very interesting when you talk about all the stories because they came on, you know, Pat Falcon-Smith, who was my mentor and a brilliant writer. You know, when we came into the show in 81, I was basically third in command at that point. And, you know, she totally redid that canvas. So she brought in the Horton, I mean, not the Horton, the Bradys,
mm-hmm.
Roman Brady, which was the lower class end of the thing, and the Demiras. And, you know, to work with Teo, who, again, as you guys probably all know, he and I have written 3 screenplays together, and we've traveled a lot, and he was one of the few actors that I actually, he would sneak into my office and we would talk about story, because he always had, you know, really strong ideas, and they were ideas that were really not about him, but they were about the character, and
uh-huh.
about being true to the character, and all of those things. You know,
I was wondering
so,
how
Demiras,
that,
you know,
that worked.
I wasn't saying when we were first there, and it was Renee. You know, Renee was not his sister originally,
uh-huh.
but when right. unfortunately Brenda Benet committed suicide, as you may know, Lee Jimon.
Yes,
and it was Brenda. I still remember being in my apartment at the time, watching TV and hearing, you know, the tragic suicide of Brenda Benet, and I was like, I didn't just hear that, because. She was on the show, and I was one of the head writers. And I said, as awful as it is, I called NBC and said, did you just say? They said, yes. And I ran down to the studio and had to look through the breakdowns and see what was going on.
Oh.
And Maggie and I had to sit there and change the story. And
oh.
suddenly the letter came that she left for Tony, you know, or Renee. I can't remember even who got the letter. But, you know, those are things that happen when you're writing suddenly,
oh.
and you have to be able to go in there and switch it up. But
yeah.
for the Demiras, you know, we're always a major, major force. I mean, now there are many, many Demiras.
Yes, yes. Many yeah. generations. Well, you know, you mentioned bringing in those new families, the Bradys and the Demiras.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't they received pretty well back then? I mean, I guess what I'm puzzled with is, in my opinion, they're not doing as good of a job with the Hernandez family, as you guys did with the, you know, with the Demiras and the Bradys,
right.
integrating them into the, you know, I mean, I just, they're
yeah.
falling flat with a lot of people. Now, so they do have fans, and I'm not saying, you know, there are fans out there, and I'm not diminishing them, but they have not been welcomed as much. I think they're all interested in seeing, you know, more diversity and more, you know, different characters and all that. You know, because it gets kind of boring with the same old, same old, same old. But
right.
the way they've executed it, in many people's opinions, has fallen flat with a lot of people. So not everybody, but I was just wondering because I came in. I mean, Roman Brady, all that. You know, that was when I, you know, Tony, all, you know, right during that time. But so I don't know. I mean, back then we didn't have the internet and all that, so we weren't. Talking to each other about, we were just sitting there watching it all together at school,
mm-hmm.
or you know, during our break,
right.
or whatever. But do you have any like thoughts on how to go about? Any opinions you'd like to offer about how to go about doing that and make it successful?
Well, you know, the thing is, as I said, I don't really. I try not to watch the show at the moment, only because.
Right.
Writing the novel, it's very interesting.
Right.
I mean, I saw something on Twitter yesterday with somebody talking about one of the characters, and I thought, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to read that. Because even when I did the second book, and I thought, oh, no, then Michaela's on the show. And it really threw me for a couple of
yeah.
weeks. I said, oh, no, how do I do this now? So I am, you know, I thought watch it, and I don't know, in all honesty, I don't know how they've integrated them. So, and again, as I say, I had many, you know, detractors when I was writing. So, it's easy for other people to say, oh, you could do it better.
Right.
I don't,
yeah.
I really can't comment on how they've done. All I know is the show is still on the air.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess I wasn't meaning it so much as a crit. I don't, not so much to try to criticize them as much as just like how did it work so well with the Bradys? And I mean, what was it, character development? I'm sure was part of it.
Better writing.
Well, you know, the thing is, when you talk about better writing, you know, Dina, by the way, came into the show as my assistant. Mm-hmm. I hired her from when she was just graduating from Pepperdine, and she was my assistant for a while, and then actually was Leah Lehman. She worked with Leah Lehman. She's worked with everybody on the show, and she was, I always thought she had a great story sense when I was working with her years ago. You know, Gary Tomlin was a terrific writer, and I would say I've worked with 90% of the writers on the show when I did shows back east, and they're all terrific writers.
Yeah.
So, you know, when people say, mm-hmm. you know, the writing isn't as good, I don't know if that's necessarily true or if it's, it's hard for me to believe that it's bad. Because they're
right.
all so good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Madeline. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the thing is, what I do know what happened is in the days when Pat trained me, you know, it was really about looking at the canvas and not just bringing in a character, but bringing in a dynamic that was missing on the show. So, you know, if you brought in a Tony De Niro, let's face it, he was sophisticated, he was dark, he was dangerous, he was sexy. And who was on the show at that point doing that? When DeStefano, the all-powerful, all, you know, mysterious character. And then you had the real blue-collar guy because those were missing at the moment. So I don't know how they've been integrating new characters,
gotcha.
But, you know, that's how I was trained to do things. That's why in the book. So, you know, I'm sitting here looking and saying, oh, wait a minute, I need, you know, to have in book one, as you may remember, suddenly there was the maid and there were the things, the people who had the aspirations to have more but didn't have that. And as I said, I'm not sure how these characters were developed, but I would assume they were developed the way we were all taught. But again, as I said, since I didn't develop them, I can't really comment.
Right.
Well,
Madeline, did you
want to
ask something?
Yeah, I was going to ask. To some degree, isn't developing a character? You had ways to develop them that they can't use anymore. You had more money for wardrobe and sets, and to some degree, that helps develop a character, and they can't do that anymore, right?
Well, yeah, you know, the thing is, it's also a matter of how things are plotted. I know that. You know, and we all know this, the O.J. trial changed things dramatically because so many of the shows weren't on the air.
Yeah.
And then suddenly people thought they had to grasp the audience as something sensational rather than something heartfelt. And also then people, for some reason, in the old days, and I talk about, because I was working on General Hospital when Luke and Laura were so hot, and you know, through all of the, you know, when they were on the run and when the department store, any of you watched any of that stuff, really romantic, highly romantic stuff. And they were not on the show every day. People assumed they were on the show every day because you would have him 3 days, you might have her 3 days. Sometimes they would be together, sometimes they wouldn't. But there was always somebody, their stories were very integrated. Now, I've been told, a lot of the stories now are isolated rather than all integrated into a big umbrella storyline.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that helps with character development, because suddenly you're seeing everybody as individual stories. You're not seeing how these all fit together.
True.
And when you have them all fit together, you have to supply all those different, you know, economic levels, emotional levels, and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my only comment on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we have a few more callers. Try to get on here. Okay. Area code 770.
Hi, this is Angela.
Hi, Angela.
Hello, Angela.
How are y'all doing? It's been an interesting conversation. I had a couple of notes. Sherry, I hope you're doing okay. I read about your little accent on Twitter, so
yes,
I hope you're feeling
better.
Right.
Yes.
you were talking about some of the characters, other characters, for stories, and I agree with everything everyone's saying as far as the Damaras, and I think in particular, you know, there are certain fan bases, and certainly the EJ and Sammy fan base is a very vocal group, and a fairly, again, it's hard to judge how big any fan base is, but I think they're fairly large and certainly pretty well organized overall in comparison to some. And I think, I can see where a book would be very helpful too, even though EJ right now is very much on the canvas, and I'm not saying he's not going to be. I mean, as far as I know, he's still on there, he'll be on there for a while. Till the show goes off, as far as I hope so. But anyway, there are, in particular, that fan base, and I don't think I'm telling too much out of school, and I won't say too much, but, that fan base has been obviously very disappointed, just like we brought up before, that certain couples didn't get back together again, and other folks were brought in, and maybe they, just had been, just like so many people were tied with John, and maybe there were people that were still tied with Marlena and Roman. I liked John as soon as he came on the show, but I also liked her when, at the very beginning with she and Roman. And so I try to equate that, there could have been people that even after John came, they said, oh, she should really be with Roman. And, as time has evolved, I think people have gotten more accustomed to thinking John and Marlena. And so I think in a way that's a little bit similar to the EJ and Sammy situation. And I know that particularly the fan base for EJ and Sammy have written a tremendous amount of fan fiction. And I know there's a lot of fan fiction out there. And I've never written any fan fiction, and I haven't read a whole lot of detail. But especially that fan base who has been fairly discouraged over the last, say, 9 months with the where that was going, have been very creative in creating this very elaborate and detailed scenario, so that when they watch the show, they're looking for clues and things like that. And it's kind of based on, if you saw the film Inception, or some of these other programs and movies that have gone along. And I had read last year, an article, I don't know if it was in Cable and Broadcast, but somewhere where they had talked about maybe that was an alternative with some of the soap operas to get more things tied in, get the internet more tied in. Obviously, we're all more, tied in on the internet now than we've ever been before. And just like the, Survivor, there were all sorts of websites and folks that came up with different theories about things. So they were really building on that. And so I can see where the EJ and Sammy group, have really held on to that now for months as a means to continue to watch the show because they're disappointed about something else. And, I liked EJ and Sammy in their day. I'm hopeful for the new story that's coming along now that Tamara Braun is on the program. But, I think in some ways it's kind of a two-edged sword, and it kind of goes back to what your question is as far as if we have spoilers. I think there's a benefit in a couple of ways of having the spoilers because it kind of at least sets an expectation. I would hate to think that there is a very large fan base, that's really expecting this very unusual situation to occur and things to change, and then that not materialize. It's kept them engaged. It's kept a lot of people watching that may or may not have continued to watch. I don't know. But I think it's kind of a real life example of where the show is now with the writing, and I think it helps to a certain extent to have the spoilers out there, whether we all like all of them or not, to kind of see this is where the direction is going, and even having Ken Corday's comments as far as what's happening for the next season. There's good and bad with that, but also it kind of does. Has a level set because again the stories are written long ways in advance, so I think there's some positives with that. I think especially too, somebody's been using the term immersion dramas, for the soaps lately, as everyone's trying to think of ways that we can save them and that they'll continue to be on for our children and grandchildren down the road, just as we've enjoyed
them. And I think the only way, as I said, to keep them on is to watch.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and continue to watch. You know, and so, but I'm just saying that I think that because they are, because they're on 5 days a week, because it's a commitment of time. I think more people, it's hard not to look at the spoilers, I think. People that are very involved in the show, there are a few people out there that are spoiler-free, but it's more of an effort to be spoiler-free almost than not. So I think I'm just saying that I think that the spoilers have their place. Just like, I love to watch The Good Wife on CBS, one of my favorite programs. But I do. Before I even watch the show, I do look at the synopsis that's on, Comcast before I watch that episode. It's not that I'm not going to watch it because of something. But, I think, in a way, as long as they keep them fairly high level. So that was just my point on, I think the spoilers have their place.
Yeah, well, when you talk about the spoilers, to me, the benefit that they might serve right now, and this is kind of what you might be saying, is, you can really get a sense of something that you really object to. Whereas, because as I said, they don't have the benefit of being able to get feedback on what's on air and change it in 2 weeks.
Exactly.
But, if you can see what's going to be happening and go, wait a minute, help, no, this isn't working for us, and address it that way, and keep watching the show, but let them know what is, early
exactly.
on, what's not working in the future. That may be what the benefit of it is now.
I think that's true.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. We have another caller to get on. Okay.
Okay.
Did you have, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. I want to make sure we only...
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Area code 704.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Ladies, you guys there?
Hello?
That's Sherry. Hello.
Yes, go ahead. Do you have a question for Sherry?
I do. My name's Allison. And
Allison. Hi.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I just wanted to call, first of all, Sherry, and I know I've told you this before, but I just wanted to say thank you for writing these books. As a John and Marlena fan, it means so much to still have them around, even though, it's been 2 years since we've seen Peter and Drake on our screens. And it's just great to have them around again because they were what brought me into Days of Our Lives, and they're the reason I stuck around since I was 14 years old.
First
thing. But second of all, I just wanted to ask, and I know you briefly touched on it earlier, I was just wondering if you had any idea what was next now that, the books 1 and 2 are out on the shelves and you've been working on book 3. Are there going to be more books? Are you working on a new project? What can we look forward to next?
Well, thank you for the question. I think we're seeing how these are responded to. So, what I would love everybody to do is buy them.
Right.
Buy 1, buy 2, buy 4, buy them to your friends. And, I know that there's been talk about keeping them going because I think fans enjoy them, and
right.
I hope they do. So, as I said, it's kind of loose at the moment, but I know they're talking about a lot of different things for the show. And as I said, I'm just hoping that there's a strong – it's just like with the show. As I said, it depends on the fans. If the fans are watching the show will stay on the air. If readers will pick up the books and read them, that's going to help. And I just want to mention something that hasn't, I don't think it's been out there, but did I mention the ebook promotion that starts next week?
No,
you didn't. I saw that you had mentioned that on Facebook about the ebook.
Yes. The thing
did you
is,
explain
next
that?
Week, and this is actually the first time I've talked about it, but there's a big ebook promotion that starts on May 3rd. And actually, if you go online and download the book, the first book you can get for free, A Secret in Salem, and the second book is $1.99, the Kindle version, the ebook version, for 1 week, from May 3rd to May 9th. So if you have an ebook, Kindle, anything like that, you can get the benefit of getting the novel for $1.99 or getting your friends to buy the book for $1.99. And as I said, it's just a 1 week promotion. And the reasoning behind that, just so you know, is when a new book comes out, what they found is, you know, they can get people that wouldn't normally say, I'm going to spend $9 or $10 or $14 for it and sample it, and then they'll love it and tell their friends. So, you know, this is a major benefit, I think, for people to be able to get both books total for $1.99 and ebook from May 3rd to May 9th. So, as I said, this is the first that anybody's hearing about it, really. So you've got an exclusive here, Mary Ann. And if everybody can spread the word, I would.
Oh, yes, we'll do that.
Okay.
Right.
Because as I said, that's going to be going out to all the soap press. Really went out today, I think. So people will know about that.
Are
but,
you
know?
Are you going on a personal book? Are you going on a personal book tour too with this? Anywhere?
Well, you know, we're just trying to figure out what we're doing book wise. I know they're going to be for the coffee table book. They're going to Denver and Dallas over Mother's Day weekend. I'm going to be in Philadelphia that weekend. We're actually honoring my mother-in-law who passed away a couple of months ago and who book two is actually dedicated to. So I will actually – oh, I'm going to get emotional about that. So I will be there. I won't be going on the book tour. And then, you know, they're trying to set up other dates. But, you know, if there are cities that people would like me to come to, please let them know at Days of Our Lives, and we'll see what we can do. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Great. I think it's great PR for the show. I mean, it's great cross-marketing. I mean, it's wonderful that this book tour has been going on and that, you know, with your books and with the coffee table book and everything, I think it's been great PR for the show. I know it's been a lot of interest.
It's been lovely to actually meet people in person, you know.
Yeah.
Allison and others, it's been great. So I'm hoping to do more because I totally enjoy it. And I usually am at the first one, you know, I'm first in line whenever it's the autograph signing. So that's always fun to actually really get to know all the fans.
Have you thought about Kansas City? I got to get that plug in.
Yeah, and you come into the East Coast anytime.
I'll have to send you a Facebook message. We really want to get
Kansas
you to
City.
Kansas City.
Yeah, send messages to the powers that be. Those are the people to talk to.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, I've been doing that.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and are there any other calls? Because I am going to have to jump off the line here soon.
Sure.
Yeah, do you want to take, there's two more callers. Are we going to try to get them on?
Absolutely.
Do you have time?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, area code 210. Hello?
Oh. Maybe it's
hello, on. Erica?
Hello?
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 It's Sherry.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, can you hear
you're
us,
on the,
Erica?
I'm in 210. I don't know if I'm being heard.
Yes.
I'm being heard?
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I wanted to thank you, too, for writing book two, because I'm a big Stephen King fan. Always have been.
Oh, good.
So I'm delighted. I haven't read the book yet, because I haven't received it yet, but I did order it. I'll be ordering all of them. Doesn't matter who my favorites are, because those couples are the ones who I was watching, you know, when I started. So I'll be watching all of them. But or reading all of them, I should say. But I wanted to thank you for writing them, and I hope. It's hard to hear though.
So, yeah, there's something in the background there.
Do you have your speakers on? I'm thinking because there's a delay. You might
want
to turn.
No, I don't have this.
Oh, no.
Down, so they're not.
Okay.
I heard
okay.
you now.
Sometimes that.
Anyways, I just wanted to say thank you very much, and I look forward to them. I'll be ordering all three, and anything they publish days-wise, I'll probably be grabbing just because I'm such a huge fan. But,
the
people who have spoken, though, they're right. Days is not the same anymore. They skip so many steps in relationships. There's not a great deal of romance. There's not much planning, it doesn't seem like. It's just a sad thing to watch. But maybe someday.
Read the books, I hope, because, again, I'm all about romance.
That's what
Days needs is
people,
romance.
That's what people want, real romance.
That's what we want.
Based on the characters, not fate. I mean, you know, but real, you know, character-based romance.
Not on a scarf, you know, and just first glance. You know,
yeah, this magical scarf that suddenly draws people together, these two people together that have just no chemistry with, right.
difficult because that's what drew us, I think, a lot of us that are old-time watchers, that's what drew us to the show.
Right.
And that's why we got connected, because of the romance.
Right.
And adventure and all the other aspects, too. But the romance, I think, was a huge draw for most of us. And now we watch, and there's so many skipped steps, and you can't really invest in a new couple because you already know that in a couple of months they probably won't be together, and you won't really know why they're not together, or if you know why, you don't agree with the reason, or you know what I mean. So it's just a strange situation, and discouraging.
Hang in there, and keep watching.
That's true.
Okay. We have
reading.
Okay.
Go forward. Okay. But thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And can I just say something too, Marianne? Because I was going to say, if people read the books, I would love them to give reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and anything else. You know, reviews are always terrific. You know, if it's a bad review, make it short. But good reviews are always welcome.
Okay.
And
we'll tell them to go read the books and to leave comments. Okay.
Right, yes, please do.
Sounds good. Yeah, all right.
We'll do that.
Okay, we have one more
question.
Caller. Okay. Area code 916.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm one of these just hardened Matthew Ashram fans that kind of saddened by them not listening to us for his return. But actually my question is, so many Days actors and other soap veterans from like the Haiti of the 80s are popping up on these web soaps. And I was wondering, you know, it seems that the web soaps are hiring the actors we, the fans, have been wanting, not just Days fans, but fans from Santa Barbara, General Hospital, and they're also providing character-driven stories, which, and I was wondering, have you been paying attention to them, and do you think that is the case, that they're kind of going to where the, going back to how the old-time soaps were run, and kind of going more to how the fans, what the fans like in soaps, and is that kind of a way to save the genre?
Well, you know, the thing is, the problem with webisodes, and I've had this discussion really with Sony and Corday and all of those things, you know, at the moment, they can't make any money. So it's really bizarre, you know, so people are trying to figure all of those things out. But I do think it is a really good way for those actors to stay in the zeitgeist and, you know, for them to work. And hopefully, I do think that's kind of the future of soap, is really in the webisode area. And I think they will expand. And, as you know, the Internet gets even faster and faster and faster. And, you know, everybody has it in their homes. And, you know, I think that is definitely, you know, I would love to see, frankly, the books turned into webisodes.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of
interesting.
It doesn't seem like the bad, it's trouble with, it seems to me as a viewer, that you get, we've been in the 90s and they're getting this micromanaging more and more from the network suits and from Madison Avenue. And instead of listening to the fans and listening to the actors and to the writers, that they're just kind of going to this idea the gimmick of the day, that these uninformed suits and Madison Avenue who are more intent on making money or selling products than actually putting out entertainment. And I think that seems to me is kind of what ruined the genre. And it's without, in the webisodes, since it's, you know, like it's run on a shoestring budget, the actors pretty much are kind of are involved in their own input in their stories. They're not being controlled, and so they kind of are able to go back to the roots.
Yeah, well, you know, I think again, as much as people are watching, and I say watch Days of Our Lives every day, every single day. Also, I think it's terrific to be able to support the webisodes, and just because if they can start building an audience, they will connect, and those, you know, that's where it is next, that's where things are going. So, you know, if people can see that there's a really strong fan base for that, that can only help, because then advertisers will come in, and, you know, perhaps they can go back to more you know, sponsor-driven, not advertiser-driven, but sponsor-driven, like the soaps were in the beginning, Procter & Gamble, it was about selling soap. And, you know, when you really get somebody who can actually come in and sponsor, listen, look at Hoover, who just pulled all their advertising from ABC.
Yeah,
they can say,
amazing.
Okay, we're going to take our advertising dollars and we're going to be behind webisodes, you know, then they would have a higher quality and people would be watching. So, you know, it's really a matter of, as I said, supporting those genres that you think are important.
Mm-hmm.
But again, read the book.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's where I am right now.
Of course.
Well, read the book.
Oh, can you go? Will you ever think about coming up north to Sacramento? We've got a fairly large area.
Oh, sure.
Air.
Yeah, I think Sacramento. I know.
Nobody ever comes up
there,
and we're a big city.
Who specifically
yes,
do we need to
Pittsburgh, Sherry?
Say what?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, there
well,
you go.
Listen, Pittsburgh would be good. As I said, I'm. I
yeah.
know there are a lot
Philadelphia.
Of people in Pittsburgh.
So Dave 45 online.
People
Dave,
in Philly.
Dave 45 online seems to be a good contact, huh?
I've been contacting them too. So
keep it
hopefully
up,
it'll work.
Okay, and as I said, I'm going to have to jump off the line.
All right.
Because you know why? Because I have to meet my husband and have a romantic dinner with him.
I guess we'll let you go do that then, Sherry.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
So much,
Sherry.
He's being
very patient. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm always happy to talk to anybody and everybody. And come to my Facebook page, tweet me, you know, Sherry A. Writer is my Twitter name. So,
right.
Definitely.
You know, I'm more than happy to answer questions, and I'd love to come to all of your cities. So, you know.
All right. We'll work on it.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Okay, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone.
That was fun. She's
okay,
so delightful.
Is everybody gone, by the way? Hello, are we on air?
Well, yeah, we're still talking.
Hi,
guys. We're still talking. We're still on the air for a little bit.
Hi, guys. Okay, well, then I am going to sign off, but I wanted to say once again, thank you for your constant support and for the great, you know, the tweets.
Well, thank you for doing what you're doing.
They're fascinating to read. Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Care.
Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh.
She's so interesting. I could do one of these every week.
Oh, I'm glad she stayed a little longer. I was hoping she could stay longer, but because the time goes by so fast.
I know. Well, that was great. I'm glad so many people called in and everything, too. It's very interesting to get everybody's, you know, different perspectives.
Yeah, we had a lot of, I had a lot of callers waiting as I was trying to get everybody on. I had like seven, I think I got everybody that called in, though.
Well, good.
So, okay.
Well, that was fun. She's very interesting. It really makes me want to read, I'm anxious to read the second book. It sounds like it's a lot of Stephen Kayla and everything, so that'll be fun.
We'll have to get out there and promote it, and
that's right.
Okay. Tell people
to
read.
Now everybody's
and what
listening.
Did you? And
you need to lobby.
And everybody.
I'm really happy to hear. It doesn't matter if people are dead or not. That was great.
I love
bring
that.
Bring back
question.
Anybody you want.
That was a great question.
So maybe if she can write a new series, like this was a 3-book series, if they agree to more, maybe hopefully she will do a Demira one.
And Tony will have to be alive, of course.
And
that was a great question. I love that.
Good question. And did you hear what she said? Watch the show. Even if you're just watch the show.
Even if you're
just tape it.
Even if
just
you have
put
to
it in the tape. If you don't want to watch the tape, it have the TV
if you
on
have
and
to
tape
fast
it.
Fast forward through Rafe or Taylor or whatever. You know,
watch your favorite character.
Fast
forward and watch Magic. Fast forward and watch your portion of whatever state or whoever you like. But watch the show.
Yes. We need to fight for our soap to stay on the air. So that was great. She's so interesting. Oh, very.
She is. That's why I'm so hoping she comes somewhere around my area.
We need to.
That's why I've been pushing for.
Everybody heard that, right? Days 45 online is one of the Twitter. At Days 45 online.
Yes,
that's a good one.
Days 45 online, and they
about.
Have Facebook too.
Yeah, and then and the just generally the powers that be, some of the promo people, you know, Hey Jude 14, I think, is one of them. She's really neat. She does a lot of the promo spots and stuff. So, yeah, we need to lobby for, hey, Madeline, I'm sure people would come to Hawaii. We need to work on that one. That would be great.
Yeah. They're not going to get.
Yeah.
They're not
see, they're
the
going to.
They would get if they go to the.
Yeah, the budget would probably be bust on.
There goes their
one.
Budget. Well, they're going to Denver and Dallas next, I see.
Yeah,
that's coming
on
up.
Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Lauren Kozlo is going
too
to
far
Dallas.
Too far for me, though.
So she's going to Dallas one. I wish I could be there. But I'm excited for all the
Kozlo to Dallas.
To see her.
Finally.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
Kozlo to Dallas. She finally made it. Yay.
She finally made it.
And I saw a tweet about Denver that was it. Probably, well, you know, Molly and
but I don't
Lisa
think Sherry. Sherry's not going to those, though. I didn't see her make mention.
She's not going to either of those.
Yeah, she's not at. No, she's not at those, no.
But hopefully we'll have, so we need to get Team Diva of Duel and all listeners, followers, fans of the show be working on that, because it would be great to have them come to our respective cities or nearby.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
I guess we're all done now, so end the show. So you guys all have a nice weekend.
Thanks, you too. It was fun.
Okay.
Watch Dave.
Okay.
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 Sure.
Thanks to both of you for helping out. Bye bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.